Thank you, worship team. You may be seated. Yeah, the Bible says, I think it's Psalm 46:10. I don't know the reference, but I know the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. So thank you, worship team, and leading us in that, the whole worship set this morning. Just a few items before I begin this morning. First off, again, just want to pass on our condolences to the Nickel family as they had a funeral for, Chris had a funeral for his mother on Tuesday. And again, Ken and Emily Peters and the passing of Ann Barch and the funeral that took place here on Friday at 1 o'clock this past afternoon. Thank you for those who were able to visit, any of the families or even help in any way in the kitchen or prep time or whatever. We've also got some really sad news. Most of you have probably heard this past week, but Diana Dyke has resigned as our administrative assistant. So that's a huge loss for us, but we know the Lord will provide. Diana is still with us for a little longer this week, full-time and part-time, kind of, sort of, until we find someone else, kind of, sort of. So please pray for her in her new role, her new ministry role. And also pray for us as a church that we would find the right person, the right replacement to find for her job here at our church. I also just want to thank Barb Lusty. Last week she was sick and she cleaned the nursery by herself. So thank you, Barb Lusty, for wherever she where she's not here today. I don't know. Is she not here, Donna? She's in the nursery. Well, she's a true, and she needs help. She had two helpers. That's great. Well, make sure you thank Barb if you see her today and all the work that she's putting in into that ministry. It's greatly appreciated. Well, today we are in week two of our series entitled Ask Paul Anything, based on 1 Corinthians. And by the way, I also want to say, if you are new today and you'd like to make your visit known, or if you'd like to have someone contact you from the office, there should be a yellow card in the pew. If not, you can ask Diana in the foyer, and you're welcome to fill that out if you would like to, again, hear from us. Let me open in a word of prayer. Lord, again, thank you for today, and thank you for the time we've had, just the opportunity worshiping you, Lord. Lord, we pray for those in our church family who've lost loved ones this past week and the week before, that you would just be the God of comfort to those who are experiencing some grief now. Lord, we pray for Diana Dyke as she's heading off to a different ministry, Lord, and just working on a different part of your kingdom, Lord, that you would bless Diana and her family, Lord, as they are off to a new endeavor and a new ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would send the right replacement, the right person to fill her role, and that it would happen in your time. Lord, we pray for today, Lord, as we open up your word in 1 Corinthians, if there's something in our hearts or in our minds that are not in line with you, Lord, we pray by your word that it would convict us to change and just line up with where you want us to be. And Lord, so we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, and we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So again, we are in week two of our series, Ask Paul Anything. And just as a couple things, as a recap, as a reminder, Paul is writing this book primarily because the church at Corinth asked him a list of questions, or gave him a list of questions, most of which were probably written. Some were probably verbal questions. Remember that in the church, there was major conflict. There was major dissension. There were disagreements that were taking place. And one of Paul's greatest priorities in writing this book was answering these questions for the sake of promoting unity in that church. Remember, they lived in a culture of prostitution, immorality, corruption, and idolatry. Well, a couple questions that Paul is possibly asking in this chapter, which I am again making up, because I don't really know what questions were actually asked, but I'm making up these questions. So, two questions. Paul, what's the Spirit's role in helping us understand the gospel? And question number two, what's heaven like? What's heaven like? And so he seems to address these two questions in this chapter. So let's go ahead and we're going to open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2 if you brought them. If you haven't, the scripture will be displayed on the screen behind me. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, and then we'll pause and make a few comments. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Now, at surface level, this passage seems a little weird because people who are typically delivering a biblical message, they typically put in a lot of work. I know I do. I know most pastors that I talk to put in a lot of work when it comes to preparing a biblical message. But Paul here is saying, I purposely kept it simple. Well, why? Well, if you remember last week, we talked about how the Greek word for wisdom was Sophia. And Paul wanted to ensure that he wasn't winning people over like the sophists of the day. Again, a sophist was a teacher of wisdom, and in that culture, they really prized or really valued going shooting after wisdom and philosophy. And Paul didn't want to win people over in the same way that the people in the culture won people over, with eloquent words and fancy speech and impressive wisdom. He wanted to make sure that it was evident that the Spirit was working in their hearts. I like this quote from the commentary I was reading this past week. It says, "The only thing that can induce faith in an individual's heart is not the wisdom, skill, and rhetoric of a human preacher, but God's power." And so sometimes the way we come to faith is actually, the way we come to faith in Christ is actually very, very simple. It's simply a work of the Spirit. It's simply a work of God, as in the case of Stephen Baldwin, and we're going to just direct your attention to the screen behind me as we look at his story and his testimony.
I'd say what was missing was the satisfaction. My life before Christ was focused on making money. My life before Christ was a totally day in and day out existence that was unbeknownst to me at the time, an existence of self-absorbance, and you know, just doing what you normally do when you're trying to maintain a career in the movie business. Loving Jesus is what's most important to me, and I know that sounds hokey, but it's the truth. My life is God's life in me for him to do with what he wants. My wife and I were living in Tucson, Arizona about 16 years ago almost, and through the family we hired this cleaning woman. She's working with us for about 2 weeks, and my wife kind of notices her singing that she does every day in her work. Eventually, after a few more days of this, went to Augusta and said, you know, I noticed your singing, and I was just curious, you know, why is every song about Jesus? Perhaps there's another tune in your repertoire, so to speak. And Augusta had a very interesting reaction to the question. She literally burst out laughing in my wife's face. I just had to do that, sorry. And Augusta said, you know, again, understand that the reason that I'm laughing is you think the only reason that I'm here is to clean your house. So my wife, she says, honey, I'd like to share with you something that Augusta just told me. And I said, what's that, dear? And she said, well, she just explained to me that the real reason she's here is because in the future, you and I are going to become born-again Christians, and at some point after that, we're going to have our own ministry. And I said, really? At that point in my career, I was making more money than I could ever wildly imagine, and just to hear that idea vocalized at that point in time was utterly ridiculous. But that's the beginning of the journey for me. When I got to a place of willingness to just simply say to myself, okay, I'm willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and I'm now going to ask God to show me what that means, and I'm going to read the Bible and apply it to my life to the best of my ability to have that understanding, that's when this whole experience became very, very real for me. I'm Stephen Baldwin. I am Second.
Whoop. I took it out so I don't sit on it. Anyways, we had some technical difficulties at the end with that video, but that's okay. Hopefully we're still listening in to the audio. Man, it was just so simple how at least that man, Stephen Baldwin, came to faith in Christ. And really, it's simple for a lot of us. And we need to remember that those who share the gospel with others, first of all, they need to be dependent on God's Spirit and just knowing what to say and how to say it. Because in the end, we realize that it's only the Spirit who changes hearts. And it's only the Spirit that changes minds. And more on this later. Well, let's continue on in verse 6. Yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have not have crucified our glorious Lord. That's what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So now I think Paul is switching gears. He's talking about heaven. What's heaven like? He doesn't say much. Paul does not say much here, but he's saying it's going to be so great. It's going to be so awesome. It's going to be more than what any of us could ever imagine. I think we could gather the greatest thinkers, the greatest writers, the greatest designers, the greatest engineers, the greatest movie makers, artists, visionaries, theologians, and we could put them all in the same room for a year or more. And we could dream together about what heaven might be like. And I think we won't even come close. I think heaven is going to be awesome. I heard of a little boy who went to his mom and he said, God's so neat and heaven's supposed to be so great. So could me and Gloria go over there on Saturday for a sleepover? What are some things we know about heaven? Like I said, it's going to be beyond our imagination, but we do know some things from Scripture, what heaven's going to be like. Well, we know that we'll be in God's presence forever, and we will never feel lonely. Psalm 16, verse 11. I think one of the greatest tragedies in this world, in this life, is that many of us will at some point in our life have a strong sense of loneliness, but no more in heaven, I believe. What else? There's going to be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. We just had a funeral this past week. There's going to be no more of that stuff happening in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. No more funerals, no more hospitals, no more walk-in clinics, no more surgeries, no more medications, no more doctors or nurses or hospital administrators. So sorry, Joel, you're going to be out of work. Angie, sorry, you're out of work. She's a nurse practitioner. Where's Janelle? She's going to be out of work too. There's going to be a lot of people out of work in heaven. That's exciting. But God will give you different jobs. We're going to have new bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, I was joking with Marion today. She needs a hearing device for Sunday mornings, but God's going to give you new ears wherever you are. We're going to have new glorified bodies. A parent told their 9-year-old girl that someday we would have glorified bodies. And as a result, she asked, oh, do you think we'll look like Barbie? Well, maybe not quite, but our bodies are going to be great. Heaven's going to be a place where we're going to have eternal life. John 3:16. I believe this is kind of a fun point. I think we're going to have personalized and custom-built homes. Personalized and custom-built homes. John 14, verse 2. You know, a lot of people in our world, we dream of designing and customizing and personalizing our own home here on this planet, but most of us, in reality, will never be able to afford one. But for those few of us who are lucky enough to afford to have our own custom-built home, we need to remember that one day they're going to get old, they're going to get rusty, and there's always going to be something in your house that you want changed or upgraded. And even if you get it perfect, Even if it's absolutely immaculate one day, you need to remember that one day, very soon, you're going to be leaving it behind. And I think Jesus is going to hook us up all with a sweet pad in heaven. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be better than you imagine, and it will never rot or rust. And, you know, my home, as I think about this, just having fun for a little bit, I think if Jesus is making me a personalized and custom-built home, I think in my home I'm going to have a sweet shower set up, because I love taking hot showers. And I'm going to have this place in the backyard that I can make tons and tons of ribs and have giant parties in the backyard. I'm sure it'll be much greater than that, but I'm sure those two things will be included in my personalized and custom-built home. What about yours? What do you think God's doing for you? What do you think? How do you think He's preparing your house? Either way, I think God is going to blow your mind and my mind right out of the water. We have some family down from Taiwan and from Ottawa, and they flew a long way to get here. What was it? 13 hours, maybe, Mark? What? 24 hours travel. I think in heaven, they're going to have, somebody would have invented by now, I'm sure, a transporter device. And it's kind of like a Star Trek thing. You can probably transport to one end of heaven to the other and have no travel time and not have to pay huge sums of money to go visit family or friends. I think it's going to be great. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Heaven is going to be awesome, and I hope to see you there. And I'm going to tell you in a second how to get there in just a moment. Verse 10 and following, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And so I believe, this might seem incredibly simple for me to say this, but I think it needs to be said, that I believe that we receive the Spirit when we believe in Jesus. Some people see it as a separate event. You believe in Jesus, and then someday down the road, you get the Spirit. But I believe it's impossible to believe in Jesus unless you have the Spirit working in your heart and in your life already. And that's what I believe this passage is pretty much pointing at, that the only reason why you or I came to faith in Jesus is because the Spirit helped us understand that, and the Spirit helped us believe that. So the Spirit helps us understand that God saved us through His work on the cross, which is God's wise plan that Paul is talking about here. Now, it's not just simply understanding this on an intellectual level in your head. I believe the Spirit helps us understand it with our heart, with our whole being, with all we are, and we decide to follow Him with all we are, with our whole life. That's why when I baptize people, I ask people a very bold question before we baptize them. I ask them, do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and with everything you are? And if they can say yes to that, we dunk them. And we just had the awesome opportunity dunking a few people a few weeks back at our baptismal service, Norlin and Jay, and looking forward to others who are considering it as well. Verse 13 and following. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. I recently had the awesome opportunity to talk to a person who does not consider themselves a Christian, and I really appreciated the opportunity, had some good conversation. But I clarified, I got the person thinking a little bit about the gospel and about God. But I clarified, it does not matter how long we talk. It does not matter how persuasive my arguments are. I could pull up the best arguments in the world, but it's the Spirit who does the work of convincing that person to come to faith in Jesus. I'm simply the messenger. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes a ton of pressure off of me to know that it's not me who convinces, it's the Spirit who convinces people to come to faith in Christ. We are just the mail person. We're just the messenger. I just deliver the mail. It's up to you what you want to do once you receive the mail. Now, just switching gears for a second here, you know, we believe, or most of us in this room likely believe, that what God did for us, what God did for us through his son Jesus on the cross, but some people have a totally different belief system. You ever wondered have you ever wondered what it would be like to go to an atheist church? What kind of songs would they sing? I'm again going to direct your attention to the screen while we look at Tim Hawkins and his clip entitled Atheist Kid Songs.
I was reading this thing in the news several months ago, and it was this is a news story talking about the existence of atheist megachurches. I mean, what do you do there? Do you sing worship songs at an atheist church? What do you say? Like, shout to the void, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to nothing. What do you sing to? Man, do they have children's church at the atheist megachurch? What songs do you sing to kids at an atheist church? Like, no one loves the little children. The children of the world. No one hears you when you cry. No one hears your lullaby. No one loves the little children of the world. Reason why we exist, but there's no reason why. Reason why we exist, but there's no reason why. A row, row, row your boat gently down the reef. Wallowing, 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 wallowing in your unbelief. Let's do the rounds. Remember the rounds? No, you don't want to do that. Okay. I'll try a new one. Evolution, this I know, for Charles Darwin told me so. Accidentally alive, if you're weak, you won't survive. That's the logic, right? That's what they're saying. I am an A, I am an A-T, I am an A-T-H-E-I-S-T, and I have N-O-T-H-I-N-G to give me hope and certainty, and when I D-I-E, I will be A-L-O-N-E. Hey!
I've recently discovered that guy. He is hilarious. It's very funny. Lots of YouTube videos of Tim Hawkins. Anyways, although we appreciate the laughs, the sad truth is that many people actually live their life this way. They don't believe in anything. At least that's what they claim. Others are indifferent. They don't care. Interestingly, though, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. There's no fence sitting. And maybe the Spirit's been working in your life, but for whatever reason, you've pushed him aside. And perhaps today is the day, and could be the day, where you make a decision to follow Jesus. A mother, an exasperated mother, whose son was always getting into mischief, finally asked him, "How do you expect to get into heaven?" The boy thought it over and said, "Well, I'll run in and out and in and out and keep slamming the door until St. Peter says, 'For heaven's sake, Dylan, either come in or stay out.'" And I hope this is not your plan to get into heaven, because that's not how it works. The Bible says that God originally created the world good. And in the original plan, the way it was, the way that God created it, God and humans were together in perfect relationship. When we sinned against God, there was this wedge that was created between God and human beings, and we were separated from God. We, throughout history, humans have been doing their best to come and try to reconcile that relationship, but God, realizing that we could not do it in our own strength, in our own power, in our own way, he sent his son Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sins. It's so, so simple. And if we just believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and receive his forgiveness and choose to follow him, we'll be back into a right relationship with God. That is the gospel in 30 seconds. That is the most life-changing message you will ever hear in your entire life. And for those of you who have the Spirit, you get it. It makes sense. But for those of you who do not have the Spirit, it's ridiculous, as Stephen Baldwin said. It's foolishness, as Paul said in the previous chapter. And if you today want to, if you've been battling with that, maybe you've heard the gospel before, maybe you've heard about this Jesus thing and it kind of makes sense to you, but you're kind of afraid to make this decision. Well, today I'm sure someone would be glad to talk to you to help make the decision if you have not made the decision yet in your life. We close the passage by reading verse 15 and 16. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And so by saying we have the mind of Christ, I think one of the things he's saying here is that all believers are equal before God. There's no weird spiritual hierarchy. And again, remember that the church at Corinth was facing all sorts of disunity and dissension, and he was saying this to promote peace and unity in the church that he was writing to. If you are on the prayer team today, I'm just going to invite you to stand. Who's on the prayer team today? Just really quickly. Awesome. And I just invite you to keep standing for a moment. If you are here today, I just want to remind you that one of the things we really value here, if you have come here today with a prayer need, I believe God wants to meet with you this morning. And these people are going to be at my right, your left. And if you would like to pray with one of these people about anything you're going through, they'd be glad to pray with you at the end of the service. And maybe you are someone, you're sitting here today, and this whole thing about this gospel kind of makes sense to you, and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus. Well, today they'd be glad to pray with you after this service. Maybe you're someone here and you are angry at God for some reason. I don't know what that could be or why that's the case. But if that's the case, they would be glad to pray with you as well. And for any prayer need that you have, they'd be glad to pray with you. And so I'm just going to invite the worship team to come back up now as I close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you again for today, and thank you for your Spirit, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that the only reason why I came to faith in Christ, Lord, is because your Spirit helped me to understand that simple, simple truth of your sacrificial death on the cross. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for someone here who has not made a decision to follow you, that they would make today the day where they decide once and for all that they're not going to sit on the fence, that they're going to follow you. And we just pray that, Lord, for anyone who has a prayer need, Lord, that they would come forward and meet you today. And we just pray you continue to bless the rest of the service. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.